We're here again this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 8. The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you're a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There's one who seeks it, and he's the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets, yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he'll never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? The prophets died. Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It's my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say, he's our God. But you've not known him. I know him. If I were to say that I do not know him, I'd be a liar like you. But I know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You're not yet 50 years old and have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. In the name of Jesus, amen. On this Sunday of the Holy Trinity, we hear from Jesus in one of his many encounters with the Pharisees about who he is. They obviously knew Jesus was powerful. He was bold in his teaching. He spoke as one with authority. He performed numerous miracles. They saw them. He fed thousands. He healed many. He even raised the dead. He rebuked demons. So they wanted to know, so they said they wanted to know, where his power came from. He obviously had power like they'd never seen. No one had ever done this. No one could deny it. But where was the power from, and where was Jesus from? He certainly couldn't be who he claimed to be, so they thought. And they were surely not children of the devil like Jesus called them a few verses earlier. They were certain that they were right. That is the Pharisees, and that he was wrong. He was false. After all, they were descendants from Abraham, and they were Pharisees. They knew their lineage. They had the scriptures. They were teachers of these scriptures. They knew them well. So if this man Jesus was opposing them, he must be from the devil, so they thought. There's no way he could be who he was claiming to be, the God of Abraham. Doesn't even make sense. The God who made the heavens and the earth, standing right in front of them, he was in his 30s, not his 2030s or older. So they asked, but truly they didn't really want the answer because they'd already made up their minds. Jesus obviously knew this, or he actually was and is God. He knew their hearts. He knew that they just didn't believe his word. They didn't believe in him. They didn't have faith. Faith is that which trusts the word of God and receives it as true, receives his gifts, his promise that's in his word. Just as a few verses earlier, it gives us the context for this whole conversation. Verses 42 through 44, right before our reading, Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you'd love me. For I came from God, and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It's because you cannot bear to hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there's no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he's a liar, and he's the father of lies." So then, from this context of calling the Pharisees children of the devil, which according to Jesus means those who don't believe who he is. Who he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, or Yahweh, the name he gave Moses in the burning bush, in the flesh. We just confess this fully and completely in the Athanasian Creed. The Pharisees begin our gospel reading calling Jesus both a Samaritan, which is absurd, because they knew who his mom was, at least. And they also said he has a demon. So Jesus answers them, I don't have a demon. I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. The Pharisees trusted in themselves, what they could do, where they came from, their lineage, their keeping of the law, and their ability to do so, their cooperation with God to make themselves clean or acceptable. This is what the natural man does. He thinks he plays a part. He thinks it's him plus God, or sometimes even all him. The old Adam doesn't look outside himself to Jesus, but inside for spiritual ability, even looking inside for some sort of thing called faith. But that's no faith at all. For faith, according to the scriptures, is a gift from God to you through the word. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. Jesus says we should guard this word, which means we should keep it or believe it. But we look, however, according to our sinful flesh, unfortunately within ourselves for answers, for good within us, for the willpower, and ultimately we look to ourselves for the means of salvation, whether we think we do or not. Nothing good is ever found in us, however. The scriptures are all too clear on this. As Jesus tells the Pharisees here, it's because you can't bear to hear my word. You can't do it. You have no spiritual ability to do it in and of yourselves. But our Lord Jesus, on the other hand, comes to us from outside of us. He comes from heaven to earth. He speaks, he announces, and he comes to you, the sinner. He went to Calvary to bear the sins of the world, and he delivers by his Spirit his gift of forgiveness that he won on the cross to you personally through his word. He speaks it to you, even here this morning, through his word and his sacraments. This is exactly why Jesus' statement is so mind-blowing for them. It's unnatural. It's unbelievable, we might say, for the Pharisees, and according to our flesh, also for us, to believe him. We can't believe Jesus because we're fallen from birth. We don't seek God according to the scriptures, and we don't love God and neighbor. No matter what you say, no matter what you even think, the law tells you so. The Pharisees, like us, look within ourselves rather than to God for goodness, peace, salvation, and hope. And this is the same temptation of the fall in the garden, where the serpent tells Eve, if you eat this fruit, you'll be like God. This too, like all the devil tells us, is manipulated, is lying, is false. Because Jesus says, in our passage today, there's no truth in him. That is the devil. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So if keeping his word is how Jesus says we'll never see death, what does this mean? Well, to keep his word is to believe Jesus is who he says he is. Before Abraham was, I am. Jesus is Yahweh, the God who created from the beginning. As we confess in the creed, this is the Catholic or Christian faith. To keep his word is to believe, as Peter confessed, that Jesus is the Christ, Son of the living God. It's to believe that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father, according to Philippians 2:11. So to know the Father is to believe Jesus when he says, before Abraham was, I am. This is Jesus' claim that he is the God of the Old Testament. It's all about him. He's the one who Abraham saw and rejoiced in Genesis 15. He, as we confess, was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he'll come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. So to keep his word is to believe Jesus as the one promised in Genesis 3 throughout the Scriptures, the seed of Eve, the promised son of David, the Messiah who would defeat sin, death, and the devil for you. He cleanses the sinner and brings eternal life to all who would receive him. That means those who keep his word, those who believe. This language is the reality of faith. That which receives Jesus as Savior, the one who redeems you from sin. Still, our old Adam, our fallen nature, hates this language, as did the Pharisees, as do all of us. But God, who is rich in mercy, has revealed to us his Son, Jesus, who became weak for you, who suffered for you, who died for you and has risen for you. This Lord Jesus creates your faith through his Spirit and his Word, whom he sent and given you as a gift so that you're able to believe. And you now are his own, as John says at the beginning of the gospel. He came to his own, and his own didn't receive him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. That's why Jesus came to earth, not to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. In other words, he came to save you. That's why he came. He came to make you his child. He freely and he lovingly feeds you himself, his true body and his true blood, at the Lord's table. And he does this for the forgiveness of your own sin, to cleanse you. And in doing so, all that is his is now yours. His honoring of the Father means you honor the Father because of Jesus. All of it's yours as a gift, his righteousness, and the very name of the Holy Trinity that we remember today. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is the name that's yours because he's given it to you. He's placed himself with you. So that by grace, through faith, on account of Jesus, you're forgiven and absolved and holy as he is holy, holy, holy. In the name of Jesus. Amen.